Space exploration enthusiasts were thrilled to hear this announcement on July 13th, 2015.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's not. Tomorrow morning, a United States spacecraft will fly by the Pluto system and make history. I think this is a great example of a great society and a great nation and what great nations do. And I have to tell you, the data that we're going to produce, in fact, the data that we're already producing, is a gift for the ages.
July 14th, 2015 was a very exciting day when NASA's New Horizons spacecraft made a very close, in galactic terms, flyby of Pluto. Many years of hard work and, yes, a little bit of luck went into the mission that is producing surprising and useful data about a planet that not much research has been done about.
Alice Bowman works for the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, Maryland, where she's the mission operations manager. She's called Mom there for NASA's New Horizons mission to Pluto. She's the featured evening keynote at the 26th annual Wisconsin Space Conference at UW-Superior this Thursday, August 11th. Alice, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, so happy to be here.
Well, a lot of us in the media and in the public got to join this New Horizons story at the really fun part when the news came out last summer. But this was a long time in the making. Can you talk about how long a project it was to get this craft past Pluto?
Well, it started with the development of the spacecraft. Well, actually, the winning of the proposal being funded by NASA. And that happened in 2002. And we took 4 years to develop and build and test that spacecraft, and we launched January 19th, 2006. And then it was a very long transit to the Pluto system, which is very far away. It's about 3 billion miles away from Earth.
And why Pluto in particular? I understand we knew surprisingly little about Pluto before this.
We did. Our best images were collected with the Hubble Space Telescope, and scientists have been poring over those images for years, and it shows a very blotchy picture of Pluto, but it's amazing what the scientists could glean from that. So from those tantalizing pictures, scientists knew that it was going to be a very interesting system to visit. And it's, you know, the last of our classical planets that had not yet been explored.
And when we actually started getting these images, it sounds like it exceeded everyone's hopes and expectations for the stuff we saw there.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing place. It is filled with ice, mountains, methane frost, smooth plains where this ice lands, and floating icebergs, craters. I mean, you name it, Pluto has it. It's an amazing world, and I think we were all so very much surprised at the diversity that we were seeing. We even see atmosphere at Pluto, different levels of atmosphere. It has a blue sky. It's amazing.
I want to talk about the journey a little more. I was reading about some of the problems encountered, and I thought this morning I had a computer problem, and I walked down the hall and got the IT person. For New Horizons, the IT person was years away back on Earth, and the distance getting longer every time. Talk about some of the computer problems and how they got solved.
Well, many times people think, well, once you launch a spacecraft from Earth, that's it. Whatever you've got on board that spacecraft is what you are going to arrive at your destination with. That's not quite true. We can update software on our spacecraft, and when we encounter problems that we can trace to a software problem, then we can uplink those ones and zeros to the computer memory on board that spacecraft, even though it may be billions of miles away, and fix those little glitches, we like to call them. It requires a huge team effort, and you know, after years of working with many of the very same people who launched the spacecraft, we have a pretty tight team, good communication, and I think that was one of the very best things that enabled us to succeed in this mission, was that teamwork.
You mentioned those ones and zeros. I understand a problem I don't think we have often on Earth. Cosmic radiation could change those ones and zeros and actually foil some of what the computer was doing?
Yes, that is true. Computer memory is basically the, you know, ones and zeros and different parts of the memory. And sometimes those cosmic rays can come in and switch that one to a zero, and then we will experience a fault on board the spacecraft. It takes more than one of these. We call them bit flips. It takes more than one of those to trigger a fault condition. And our main computer was, even though we had protected against it, it is susceptible to some of these radiation, we call them radiation hits that we get. And occasionally we'll get a number of these in to the main computer, and it will cause the computer to reboot, just like you would see on your computer screen when you, sometimes it goes blue. You get that blue screen of death, and you hit that reset button, and things come back to normal.
Well, you made it successful. You got it there to Pluto. The mission was a success. I understand, though, New Horizons isn't done. Now, there's a lot of really interesting stuff past Pluto, and New Horizons is going to help investigate that. Is that right?
Yes. We were awarded or funded a mission extension by NASA in July, and so we are now planning for our next target, which is 2014 MU69. We will have closest approach with that object, which is about 23 miles in diameter, so a very small object. And that closest approach will be January 1st, 2019.
We're talking to Alice Bowman, the New Horizons Mission Operations Manager. She's speaking in Superior at the 26th Annual Wisconsin Space Conference on Thursday. Alice, let's go back a little earlier in the story. When did you get interested in space exploration, and what got you interested in it?
Oh, my gosh. I've been interested in space exploration from a very early age. When I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, you know, we had the space race. We were trying to get a man on the moon. And that started in the early years of the 1960s. I was 3 or 4 years old, and on the TV, you know, almost every single day you could get updates on what those astronauts were doing, how the space program was going, the Gemini, Mercury, Apollo programs. And so, you know, as a kid, that's what I wanted to do. That was exciting. That was something new. That was an adventure that was just there for the taking, basically. And I kept that interest as I went through my high school and college years.
There was a time, that time you're talking about, I think, when women in science and the space program were not non-existent, but rare. But the New Horizons team, you obviously played this central, crucial role, a lot of other women working on this team. How have things changed? Why have things changed now that we're seeing more women represented in space science?
Well, obviously, I wasn't part of that those teams in the early phases of the you know, the space program, but I can tell you, I can say now that it's the norm to see women part of these teams. New Horizons, they said that we have the highest percentage of women on a NASA program thus far, and that's at about 25%. And that made me think a little bit to our mission operations team, which is the team that I manage. And I started counting up to see how many, you know, women we had on our team, and we're just under 50% women. So that's a really good balance. When I was putting this team together, I was looking for diversity of thought and experience, because I felt that was the key to innovative problem solving, which I knew we were going to encounter, you know, problems that no mission had encountered before. So I think it's a strength of our team.
I think a lot of people in science share your story, people who are young girls or boys at the time of the moon landings and the space program back in those days, and then inspired to go into a science of any sort. Do you see, do you hope that projects like the one you're working on are inspiring the next generation of scientists?
I certainly do, and I can tell you that when I go and speak places, just the subject of space exploration is one of those things that people just love hearing about. You don't even have to be a scientist to enjoy hearing about those things. And after these presentations and talks, I'll always have questions from young people. And I think that's certainly telling of their interest and the excitement they share in space exploration.
Give us a preview of your keynote in Superior on Thursday. What are you going to be focusing on?
Well, I am going to be talking about the mission, of course, and our journey to the Pluto system and some of the things that we had to overcome as a team and how we did it, things that we planned for that thankfully didn't come to fruition, but we had a plan in place in case those things happened. And so I'll just be giving a little bit of a background insight into those types of things.
Before we let you go, what is the next currently unanswered question that you're hoping we're on the verge of getting an answer to?
Oh, my goodness. I guess there's a lot of questions.
I bet.
I've just been intrigued with the LIGO experiments that have been going on and the detection of gravity waves. I think there are so many really neat questions out there. More than enough to keep our younger generation interested in science for a very long time.
Well, Alice, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy your visit to Wisconsin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Alice Bowman is the Mission Operations Manager for NASA's New Horizons mission, which last summer made the first visit to Pluto and brought back some really interesting images and data. All that's still being crunched right now. She is the featured evening keynote speaker at the 26th Annual Wisconsin Space Conference at UW-Superior this Thursday, August 11th. You can find event information on the Central Time Facebook page.